So I'm curious, how many of you wear or wore uniforms at work? How about a name badge?
Yep.
Some kind of identifier, right? When Brian and I were in seminary, we spent a summer working with a Christian ministry in the national parks. So on Sundays, we led the team that provided church services. And Brian and I preached in two different locations, and we were in charge of the team. But for the rest of the week, we worked for Curry Company, cleaning cabins. And we had a maid uniform. It was this lovely rust brown tunic and pants. Very stylish. It was a visible signal to the guests in the park that person who's going into your room is not there to steal your stuff. They're there to make the bed and clean the bathroom. In Romans, Paul tells us, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in English, that kind of has an unfortunate connotation. It sounds like faking it, right? Pretending something that isn't real. It sounds like maybe playing dress up. But that's not at all how Paul means it. It's much more like wearing a uniform. I remember wearing my clerical collar for the first time on the day that I was ordained. It was an honor and a heavy responsibility, a reminder to watch my words and actions, because people would judge the church and even God by what I said and did. It was a challenge to live my faith in public, to be a visible sign of Christ's presence and love. And at first, it felt very much like a costume. Who was that person looking back at me in the mirror? But then I realized this is no costume. This is no fake act. This is a sign of who I am, of who I am called to be. And by God's call, and through the prayers and the laying on hands of the bishop and the community, I've been given the gifts of the Holy Spirit for this work. It's not an act. This is who I am. And it doesn't end when I walk into the house, ditch my collar. Whether other people can see it or not, I'm still a priest. We have just begun Advent. This is the first Sunday. And Advent is an amazing season, set at the darkest time of the year, when we live with this tension that we are in a dark time. But we are looking for the light and living into the light. As Paul says, the night is far gone and the day is near. And though it is still the night, we are called to walk in the light of the Lord. I read this Isaiah passage, and it's one of my favorites. You may have noticed I have a lot of favorites, but it is one of my favorites. You know, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. And this beautiful vision, God shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. And I read that and I think we are so far from that. We do not see that time of peace. But we long for that time of peace, and we are called to live into that time of peace. Not just to long for it and hope for it, but to be peacemakers. To be people who work to end division, who work to bring God's love into situations, to be visible signs of Christ's presence. Although it is still night, we are called to walk in the light of the Lord. As the Talmud states, "Do not be daunted by the enormity of the world's grief. Do justly now. Love mercy now. Walk humbly now. You are not obligated to complete the work, thank God, but neither are you free to abandon it." We each are called to do our own small piece of that work. In these dark times, we are called to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, to let Christ be our uniform, and to live as children of the light. God challenges us to be a visible sign of God's love and God's promises here in our community, here in this world. And this isn't faking our dress up. We are made in the image of God. We are given the gift of the Holy Spirit in baptism and at confirmation. And each Sunday, we share in Christ's body and blood. By God's grace, we are transformed into Christ's body. And so what Paul is challenging us to do is to live into that truth. It's not an act. By God's gift, it's the deepest truth about who we are. We are Christ's visible presence in the world. And God challenges us to live that truth every day of our lives. I want to end with a beautiful poem by Frederick Joseph, "Loving in a Broken Time." Some say the world is ending, but endings are only beginnings wearing heavier shoes. Even ruin grows tired. Even ruin sleeps. And in the quiet between disasters, love kneels in the dust, as if searching for a dropped earring, and finds God instead. To love now is to drink from a cracked chalice and call the water holy, even as it leaks through your hands. Because most days, hope feels like a match trying to teach the rain about fire. Still, love remains the only empire that does not fall. And stars stay brightest in the sky that is darkest. Come, my friends, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let us serve the only empire that does not fall. Amen.